This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. And show. We got a little party tomorrow. I like to have parties. I like to have parties. There's no doubt about
it. I like it called that. Yeah, good
point. I like to have parties. I like to have radio parties. I like to invite all the people. I like to do a little bit of good, pull our own weight, help the less fortunate.
When you get a chance to party.
Yeah, Dusty, you do. And we just happen to be living in a world where we, and being a profession, where we can have a party. And the ones that benefit can be the less fortunate. We can have a party. We can bring everybody together. We can get everybody involved. And then we can help others. So, Ron, I want to start Dirty's Daily today. I want to start by giving you a few minutes of the daily right here and let you tell the folks about what we got going on the drive. Oh, not just the drive. On Sports Radio 610, 6A to 6P tomorrow.
Tomorrow is a big day. It is the first Reggie and Ron Radiothon as we are looking to take a small part on trying to help feed Houston. And what we mean by help feeding Houston, that means the Houston Food Bank. I was able to meet up with Brianna Conway. She is the corporate engagement coordinator over there at the Houston Food Bank and kind of got some conversations rolling. And we are working together to try to raise money for the Houston Food Bank. They service over 18 counties and over 1 million people. They have been doing this for years. They've recently had their budgets cut by $11 million, and as what she told me, down 40 pounds in food from what they normally are able to allot out to people. So that is where they are, and I know myself and Reggie, we've been inspired to try to do something to help the Houston Food Bank, and man, we really, really, really want to do the same. And hopefully have you to help us do the same. And all you got to do is hang out with us tomorrow. We got a radiothon going from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. First time I've ever done radio this long, Clint. It will, as you said, be a party. And you can donate. Any amount that you can donate can help. All you got to do is text Sports Radio 610, all one word, to 71777. That's Sports Radio 610 to 71777, and you can donate as much or as little, whatever you can. It will be of great help. We have a goal that we want to hit, and we want you to help us hit it. We'll have a lot of fun things tomorrow. Also, Clint, we have added to what we're doing. We've added auction items. And we have four dinners with each four of the shows we have here. Payne and Pendergast, In the Loop, us here on The Drive, and Area 45. And you can bid to win a dinner with each show. If you're a big Payne and Pendergast fan, you want to go and eat and have a night and have dinner and have some conversations, some fun with Payne and Pendergast, you can do that. You'll have a chance to bid for a night at Churrasco's. If you are a big fan of Lopez and Reggie and Figgy, you want to go within the loop, you will have the opportunity to have a dinner and have some fun with them at J Bar M Barbecue. You want to hang out with us? And yes, Nasty Ass Tyler is going to be with us.
Yeah, I will.
There he is. He's going to be himself. You can come.
We can play the nervous game if you want.
For some brews and dinner at Carbach Brewing. We will have a good time. And then Area 45. You know them. The best damn night show in all of Houston. Yeah. You can hang out with them at Kristen's Tailgate. And Patrick,
I love how it gets you cracked up.
Patrick will do that voice and that sound for you, Johnny Chris Santiago. You can hang out with them. You'll have a chance to win an auction to have dinner. And hey, man, with The Drive, man, you might have a little extra than just a little dinner.
I promise you got a little extra.
Okay, calm down, cowboy. All seriousness, it will be fun tomorrow. We'll be at it from 6 a.m., 6 p.m. You'll be able to donate throughout that entire time period. So come hang out with us tomorrow.
Yeah, and here's what I'm working on. I'm working on getting some kind of little emoji that you can use when you donate to let us know that you're donating because of The Drive, because there is a competition.
Eggplant.
There is the eggplant, huh? That's real cute. At the end of the day, it'd be on brand. At the end of the day, it's a competition, and we're doing it for a good cause. But damn it, I want to win, and we're gonna find a way to make sure we can identify those that are Drive. Not that everybody listens. I know everybody listens to Sports Radio 610, but the Drive specific folks that are texting Sports Radio 610 to 71777. Because they heard it right here on The Drive. I want to know who the hell you are. So get ready, man. Tomorrow's going to be a good time. Everything will be live tomorrow, 6 a.m., to get the donating started, get the bidding started. And like Ron said, we are going to have a good time. I'm sure all the shows will have a good time. Different vibe with each show, obviously. Carbach Brewery, I think that is with The Drive. I think that's just its own brand. Things may or may not get a little bit out of control, but we will have us a hell of a time. That's something you want to get in on and start the bidding early on. We're going to start the bidding, I believe, around 250. I think we're going to start the bidding around 250, which if it were me, I'd start it a lot higher than that. But 250 is where we're going to start that bidding at. So jump on, baby. Let's make this happen. All right, guys, moving from that party to one maybe not so much of a party. Yordan Alvarez, the Astros. Look, the Astros, they did win a game last night against the Major League Baseball's worst franchise right now, bottom of the barrel, the Colorado Rockies. They won a nail-biter with them, and we'll get to that here in a second because I do have a conversation that I think could be brewing that we got to have. But Yordan Alvarez was thought to potentially be back in the Dodgers series, if not the Cleveland Guardian series at the latest, which, by the way, folks, that's all within about 6 or 7 days here. So the thought was that Yordan would be back. We got news from Dana Brown that he was swinging the bat, and that was the expectations. And then we got the news yesterday that obviously there was that right hand, it was bothering Yordan Alvarez after a couple of days of baseball activities. Here is Dana Brown, the general manager, speaking on the topic.
Yordan Alvarez came into, you know, you guys saw him swinging a bat Saturday at our home ballpark, driving balls all over the place. The plan was to get him down to, spring training site in West Palm Beach on Sunday. So he flew down Sunday. Yesterday, did some baseball activities, and then today he showed up, and his hand was sore again. And so now at this point, we're going to pause with this setback and, get him to see another specialist and take it from there. And so, look, it's it's tough time going through this with with Jordan, but I know that he's still feeling pain in the soreness in his hand, and so we're not going to try to push it or force him through anything. We're just going to allow him to heal and get a little bit more answers as to what steps we take next.
Hey, Dana, how about we do this?
No!
How about instead of explaining how we saw him hit and how you're not going to force him and you're going to be patient, how about we guarantee this as an organization? How about we guarantee that Jordan Alvarez and any other player of any significance to the organization, how about we make it a point to find out what the hell's wrong with him? How about we make it a point to say, hey, as an organization, what we're going to do is we're going to find every damn hand specialist in the world that can look at this hand, and we're going to find out what's wrong with this hand. We're going to find out exactly what Jordan Alvarez needs to do to be able to swing a bat hands-free. I mean, not hands-free. That'd be a hell of a deal. How can you swing a bat hands-free, right? Pain-free. It'd be cool if you could swing it hands-free. But
mind-free.
Yeah. I mean, of course you're not going to push him back. Hell, you probably already tried to do that. Of course he's not going to do anything stupid. He's probably already done that. Of course you're going to give him the time that he needs. You should have done that from the jump. At the end of the day, as a fan, all I want the Astros to do is, I'd prefer this to have happened a month ago, but I want the Astros to get Jordan Alvarez. If Jordan Alvarez doesn't have representation that's going to make sure that the hand specialist was here a month ago, then the Astros at this point damn sure need to do it. Figure out what's wrong with the man's hand. Get whatever imaging you need done. See whatever specialist you need to see. Put him on a private jet and fly him wherever the hell he needs to go to get this thing right.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I have so many questions. Like, did we ever reach a point where he was pain-free? Like, did we ever reach a point where where his hand wasn't sore when he was hitting it, off the tee? Did he ever get to it? And then all of a sudden yesterday he just started to feel that pain back again?
Yeah.
Like, what? And for them to shut him down, do they know something already?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do they know something already to completely shut him down?
Well, here's my question with this thing, Ron, is because I do think there's a lot of people out there, and I'll admit there's times in Jordan's Astro career where I've been like, man, there's some D.Va in there, man. Get your ass back out there and play. Like, I think there's some people right now that are like, man, he's soft. Jordan's soft. And I don't think that is 100% false. I think there probably is a level, not with this situation, but I think there probably is a level of...
say D.Va, is that what you're
talking? Yeah, there's probably a level of D.Va in there. But Ron, I can't get there with this one, man. And that's the question. And it's to each their own. But for you, is this more of a Jordan issue or is this more of an organization frustration? For me, it's 10 out of 10, without a doubt, the organization. Jordan, hey, look, especially when it's your hands and you swing as violently and as often as he does, there's gonna be some things that bumps and bruises and setbacks along the way that happen. I ain't got no problem with Jordan Alvarez having a hand issue. I don't have a problem with it flaring up a month and a half into this thing. I really don't. My frustration, obviously, as you can hear, is with the organization. It has become, we laugh and joke about it for the last 3 years, but the reality of it is it has become an embarrassment. I'm not worried about Jordan Alvarez. I hope he's back. Obviously, being a fan, I'm not worried about it. I don't hold this against Jordan one bit. It's the organization.
It absolutely is. And there are so many great things about the Houston Astros organization that they have shown over the last decade. This here is something that is alarming and could potentially be very, very hurtful for them down the road when it comes to free agents, when it comes to things like that, because... like, they have had so many just mishaps.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, one is too many to Kyle Tucker.
Oh, breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL.
Oh,
download
my.
The BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, y'all know what that is. An old breaking news sounder. What you got, man?
What do you have, T? I will preface this. Y'all heard me freak out with the Jordan news yesterday. Four-letter words, angry. I'm going to preface this by telling my fellow Astros fans, Chandler Rome, Astros insider, he says, is not something to freak out about. procedural move. But the slugger, you are sitting in there talking about Yordan Alvarez. The Astros have transferred him to the 60-day IL to clear a spot on the 40-man roster. So that's the absolute latest on the very conversation you fellas are having.
Well, the reason why he's saying it's not a big deal is because he's already been...
He's been out a month and a half.
Been out for, I don't know how many days now, 30, 40, who knows.
Since the war.
This doesn't mean he's got to miss 60 from here on out. It's he's gone the 60-day, just longer term, right, is what this means. And they can add another roster.
I don't care if you told me that he was going to miss 60. If you just came out right now and said, hey, man, we're flirting with 60 days here. We're going to get this hand right. We figured out what it was. We got a specialist. We're going to get it done. I'd sign up for it right now. All right, get him right and let's get the hell on.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as I said yesterday, it is completely on the table that he doesn't play again this year. Like, I won't.
That'd make me sick.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't. Because obviously he's going to go see another hand specialist. Would it shock you that it's like, hey, man, we need to have surgery. We need to do, like, would it shock you with the steps back and no. them not
Yeah, that would surprise me right now. Only because, Ron, the way that they're describing, hey, he swung the bat and then he showed up the next day and it was a little bit sore. Like, if he'd have swung the bat and something popped or swung the bat and immediately gone, then I'd have been worried. Like, this seems to be something that's nagging, and they should be able to address without ending his season, I would think. Crazier things have happened.
It just hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
Right? It hasn't healed or gotten better. That's the part there, because it's like, is this just a deal of rest?
Yeah.
Because they've tried it twice now without rest. And does that's the thing there. So
Yordan Alvarez has been shelved in minor setback and for a major comeback. You've heard that? Minor setback, major comeback. Hey, here we go.
A minor setback. You sound like Dana right there. Oh, yeah. Just a minor setback.
Yeah,
now?
Man. I all the cliches, man. There for you. But started with a little Yordan injury news from Dana Brown, and we ended with a little breaking news on Yordan Alvarez going to the 60-day IL, which again, 30 or 40 of those days have already been eaten up, so don't panic too much. But guys, let's move to the Astros last night. They win 6-5 over the lowly Colorado Rockies, but in the process, Colton Gordon, Tyler's guy, the wheels came off.
Big C.
Big C.
Gordo.
The wheels came off, boys. I mean, he had a 6-1 lead. He tried his damnedest to give it up. And luckily, Caratini was there with a grand salami that put the Astros up 6-1 early. And Colorado, being as bad as they are, they almost got there, but they didn't have enough in the tank to come all the way back. But the question here is, boys, and this pains me to say this because I'm a Yainer Diaz fan, but is there a chance? Do we need to have a catcher conversation? I'm sitting there last night, and look, I know stolen bases in Major League Baseball are a lot of bases. Most bases are stolen on the pitcher, right? Most bases, I get it, are stolen on the pitcher. But these cats are just running at will on Yainer Diaz. And
been doing it for a while now.
And last night, it wasn't them just running free. It was a couple pass balls. And I know there's some wild pitch aspect to it. I get that. But damn, it just seems like those are the kind of things that are going to hurt you in games that are versus better opponents. And then your backup, Caratini, was he DHing last night?
Yep.
He grand slams. I mean, do we have a future here of having a conversation about what we do at the catcher position?
I think that he is the future, but Clint, I ain't going to ignore the fact that this looks a lot worse when his on-base percentage is .268. Right? When Yiner is hitting .240, and I'm adding a point, he's really hitting .239, but he's hitting .240, man, and his OPS is .650 when you compare that. Like, maybe when he had some struggles the previous 2 years, he was hitting, you know, 26 bombs. He was hitting, for average. He was one of your RBI guys. Not the way he's swinging the bat, hitting eighth and seventh.
Yeah.
You know, you can't then just be able to be run on at will.
Yeah, that it's not that Yainer Diaz is just terrible, but to your point, whatever he's doing is landing him in the 7-8 hole. And the catching, the defensive side of things isn't great. And then on the other side of it, say what you want about Caratini. I know the numbers aren't significantly better, but he is clutch as hell. That sucker's clutch. And he is one of very few left-handed bats in the lineup. And so at least one of very few left-handed bats that are going to be around, assuming health is going to be around long-term, long-term being this year. I don't know. I just wonder if how much of a real conversation that is. Is it a continual back and forth, and just Yiner tries to weather the storm?
Yeah, I wonder who's the bigger conversation that behind the plate or over there down there at first base. I know Christian had him some hits last night.
Yeah, he was 3-for-4, and that fourth one was an error. He got on. He had some action,
but it ain't been that way. So we'll see. All right, coming up, we'll keep you updated on the latest news and let you know if you missed it on Yordan Alvarez. There's been an update with him and. What right now, we talked a lot about what the Rockets could do. What's the floor for the Rockets? We'll discuss that.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's a bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, if you missed it, the news here recently from The Athletic and Chandler Rome, the Astros, they have transferred Yordan Alvarez after recently having the setback and shutting him down. They have transferred Yordan Alvarez to the 60-day IL to clear up a spot on the 40-man roster. And my man Chandler Rome said, guys, don't freak out.
Nothing to freak out about here.
Don't freak out. Just a procedural move.
Don't tell me what to do.
And Tyler says, don't tell me what to do, damn it. But yes, I believe... Did I get that right? Did he go on May 8th?
Couldn't find the damn link I looked at yesterday, but I know it was like the first week of May. So, yeah, right around.
Now, you know what? It was earlier than May 8th because I was 40. It was before May 5th, I believe. I remember you saying it yesterday, and I said, damn, I was 40 when he got injured, when he last played. But the reason why he's saying don't freak out is it all of that time, May 2nd, yeah, all of that time counts towards the 60 days. So that is the latest thing there.
If it all counts towards the 60 days, when did it happen?
May 2nd.
I mean, we've seen 60 days. I mean, we're literally 60 days in.
But just to say he doesn't have to, like, he'd be eligible.
They can
to
set it back as far as they want.
He don't have to miss 60 more. Yeah.
So I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah. Yeah, someone texted in. You were talking about Yiner Diaz. Yiner should be at catcher. Fire the hitting coach. Damn, man. Hitting coach on his...
God, I'm tired.
But the hitting coach is... Do you remember what Clint's take was about Yiner Diaz?
What if I told you?
Really wasn't his hit. it was the issue with him not being able to hold runners on and people running on him at will. I mean, they want to fire Alex Citron for that.
It's just careless. Like, I mean, I love Yiner. I'm a big Yiner Diaz fan. I want to see him take the next step, man. So I'm patient as I can be. But it just seems careless. I mean, there was two pass balls last night that put Colorado Rockies in scoring position. One time it was runners from first and second with the second and third. The other time it was first to second. But it's just like it's almost just careless. Just like that kind of stuff gets you in trouble against good baseball teams. It ain't gonna hurt you against the Rockies. It didn't last night anyway, but it gets you. It's gonna get you beat against good teams now.
I don't think Alex Cintron has anything to do with that portion of his game. But what do I know? Coming up here in a bit, we'll do a little Rockets report with our guy Brandon Scott. But before we get there, and I'm sure he'll probably have some thoughts on this as well. I have felt very, very good about the Rockets and their standing and where they are right now when it comes to the moves they've made and how they look compared to the competition. I think they're a top two, top three team in the NBA right now when you look at everything that's going on. And Clint, maybe I need to slow down a tick because I'm feeling myself and I'm feeling myself to a point where I've asked myself the question of, yes, they're damn sure a championship contender. That's without question to me. But the other part is, like, if I were to say to you, everybody stays healthy. Like, everybody's relatively healthy. It's nothing just something crazy where, you know, Tatum happens or something like that. What do you think the floor is for this team? Like, how bad do you think it could get with everybody healthy? Like, I don't think they could be a play-in team.
No. You got to be, what would that be, a top what seed? I mean, can't be
top six seed.
Top six seed, and you got to have a hellacious first round where if you get beat, it's by Oklahoma City. It's by a stacked team somewhere that you know, it is just a hell of a matchup for you, and it's a hell of a series. Just making the playoffs, just showing up, just being competitive, just being better, I don't think is enough for this team. The floor has to be extremely high expectations. In fact, I don't have a problem with championship expectations with that level of expectation. And whoever, whenever you don't win a championship, whenever you get whoever beats you out, better be one of them top dogs that's playing the top of their game.
I just, like, if they played, you know, everybody played, a, you know, 65 games or whatever, and it wasn't, like, I can't see this team being lower than a 4 or 5 seed.
I can't either.
I know it's good teams. I can't sit there. Like, I respect the Warriors. We'll see what the Lakers do, obviously, what they have. And, you know, we'll see how healthy Dallas is. I know there are some good teams out there, Clint. There's the Rockets have that combination, Clint, of I think they give a damn about where they finish for the most part. Like maybe, you know, maybe it's not top of mind for KD, but they've got enough young guys. Like OKC, I think OKC wanted to be the one seed. I think they cared, right? I think there are some teams that won't give, like that won't care. Like Golden State doesn't, I don't think, care where their seed is.
Right.
Like I think the Rockets want to win 65 games. I think they want to have a great record. I think they want to have a top seed. I think that they've got that many young guys who are hungry, who aren't looking like, all right, man, it's about getting myself to the play. Like, I think Amen Thompson wants to go out and ball every single night. I think Shingun is that way. I think Easton's that way. I think all Jabari Smith that way. Like KD and maybe Steven Adams are thinking long term. These dudes want to get it every night. So I just find it, and maybe I'm just being aggressive, and maybe I need to slow down a tick, and I could hear that. But like I will be shocked if this team is a six seed.
Boy, I agree with that.
If they are ever flirting with the play in, I will be floored if nobody has seriously gotten injured.
Yeah, that's now you're getting to me. Now you're getting into come over my way of thinking in a sense of like. The overall basketball product has to be significantly more convincing than it was last year. There was a lot of mystery to last year's team. Who are they? Both as a team and hell, some of the old guys that you never hard to get to see play were critical parts, you know, in the playoffs. The young guys, you watched them develop right before our eyes. We didn't know what they were going to be. This year, the majority of the mystery, with the exception of a couple of players, should be gone, and it should be like realistic expectations of being a top team in the league.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how much Kevin Durant plays. You know, I don't know how aggressive you. That's for
they're going. They're going to protect him, right?
Yeah. Well, that's priority, right? I mean, now that's the difference this year and last year is, you know, this year you've got hell. I would argue that a guy like Shingun has to be somewhat protected. Not the way that an aging Kevin Durant that plays the way he plays. But
Durant may not play back to backs.
Right. Not to that degree. But I would argue that later in the season, knowing now when Shingun is going to show up and leave every bit of it on the floor in a playoff scenario in a critical situation, it might be in their best interest to take care of him late in the season, depending on how the season's rolling. But yeah, I'm with you, Ron. I think as the season moves forward, it's more of a product question for me. The Rockets should be a team that we watch, and we get to watch all regular season long with real expectations that they could potentially win a championship. They're going to make a run in the playoffs. They're going to be one of the better teams. They're one of the more exciting teams to watch. That's to me the experience of the Rockets.
Well, the Lakers made a move.
Uh oh, what'd they do?
Hey. According to Chris Hayes, he is. They are expected to sign DeAndre Ayton, the 7-footer. Disappointment, I would say he probably has been. DeAndre Ayton's going to the Lakers have some size now. They have a center. We'll see how committed he is and how that flows. But these teams in the West, the Lakers, they are better. We'll see how long he plays. They are better today, but they did get some size. It looks like they made a deal with DeAndre Ayton, former number one overall pick. So the Lakers did add to their team. They're another team that's competing with the Rockets in the West that I still look at behind the Rockets right now. All right, let's talk to our guy, our Rockets report today, Brandon Scott. He will join us, and we'll get his thoughts of everything that's been happening. Hell, it was KD when we talked to him last week. Now they have even upgraded the team. Even more. We'll talk to Brandon Scott coming up next.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, welcome back. It is Wednesday. That means it is Rockets report time. When you look at everything that has happened, there has not been a team more talked about, especially from a positive perspective, with what they have done thus far in the offseason than your Houston Rockets. And nobody better to chat it up with than our guy, Brandon Scott, who covers this team and knows this team. And last time we talked, man, we were reacting to Kevin Durant, that big move being made. And they didn't stop there, right? We heard and saw the new free agency was going to open up at 6 o'clock the other day. And they had news before the damn thing officially opened. They added Dorian Finney-Smith. They also bring back Clint Capella, who in some way is only 31 years old. It feels like he has been playing forever.
He has. Okay. He's been in the league a decade and has
11
been,
years.
Has been good for a long time. Yeah, man. And was young when he started.
First, before we dig into the moves that we know here lately, are you surprised that they continue to go? I mean, this looks like they're going, I don't want to say all in, but I mean, it looks like they are being extremely aggressive in putting together the absolute best team, not leaving any stone unturned, it seems like.
This is what we were talking about before when we talked about their flexibility and optionality and the fact that they could go in a number of directions. And they have chosen to have their cake and eat it too. They've chosen to trade for a megastar. They have chosen to go out and spend big money in free agency. They have chosen to double down on their core by paying Jabari Smith Jr. Like, they are doing literally all of the things, and it plays right into it, you know, to your question about am I surprised? No, because they had all of these options in front of them. It was the beauty of their situation. It was the beauty of what the offseason looked like, the one that was in front of them, whether that was trading for KD, trading for Giannis, you know, doing exactly what they've done now by trading for KD and adding, you know, pieces around the core and doubling down on pieces within the core.
Yeah.
I mean, this speaks to exactly what the Rockets had in front of them.
What, B. Scott, what is it? I know we're all excited about it, but where does it push you, covering the team as close as you do, where does it push you in terms of where do the Rockets stand? And I know it's early. Look, I mean, it's all speculation, but where do the Rockets stand right now? Are you cool with the Vegas odds in terms of best teams in the West and best teams in the NBA, or are you like, hey man, let's see this thing through a little
bit? See, until I see it through, I still buy into the Western Conference being a similarly crowded field that it was last year, right? So like it was a crunch between 2 and 8 or whatever it was, right? So like I still view the Western Conference that way until proven otherwise, until I see a team aside from Oklahoma City like take that. But in terms of like the Rockets being among those teams, right? They were one of those teams, right? They were the number 2 seed. They were among these teams that we're talking about. I like them as still one of those teams, but now with even better chances, right? We talked about them being a disrespect. I worded it this way, at least, them being the most disrespected number 2 seed that I ever seen. And a lot of people would take the flip side and say, no, they were just flatly overrated and not as good as a 2 seed might indicate. And I think the first round probably fed into that, right? So, like, I think that now with the moves that they've made, they're certainly still in that conversation at the very least, but they've upped the ante, and I like their chances better among that group.
Yeah, Brandon Scott joining us for a little Rockets report. All right, in particular, the players they got, as you said, Clint Capella's been in this league for a long time. They have Steven Adams. They have Alfred Şengün. They add him there. And then also Dorian Finney-Smith, 4 years, $63 million, a 6'7 wing that can defend and shot a career best from three. Those two moves in particular, what's your thought about them and the depth they just added?
So this is the way I look at it in totality. Think about it like this. What if I told you last year you could upgrade from Jalen Green and only slightly downgrade from Dylan Brooks? Because that's essentially what they did with Kevin Durant and Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, these are guys that are going to play for them, obviously Kevin Durant. But Dorian Finney-Smith is going to play minutes for them, and it's not going to be quite the same as Dylan Brooks. Not quite the same player, but the same player profile does a lot of the same. Like, the crossover there does a lot of the same things. Shot, I think, like a career-high 41% from three. And if you look at some of the deeper analytics, one of the better perimeter defenders or one of the better at guarding all-star players, Dorian Finney-Smith, one of the best in the league at guarding all-star players. And that's somebody that you're going to be bringing off the bench. Kind of feeling a similar Dylan Brooks role, but we expect Jabari Smith Jr. to be the guy that's starting. Somebody's not healthy. You got a guy on the bench, two guys at least on the bench between Dorian Finney-Smith and Tari Eason that you feel comfortable starting. Three guys if you want to include Steven Adams. So they've added to the quality and the depth of the team in a significant way.
You mentioned Jabari Smith, and we've had a lot of conversations about him. I'm fascinated. He's the most fascinating young player on this team.
He got paid, baby. 122.
Man, good for him.
You mentioned filling the void of Dylan Brooks, both in the defensive end of the floor as well as, I mean, he shot it at a high clip last year.
Yep.
Specifically to Jabari Smith's ability to fill that void, how comfortable are you with that?
No, I think let's be honest, man. He was in that spot. Like, we wanted to see more from Jabari Smith before. Yeah. But it's not like this dude has not been starting for the majority of his career. So he is a starter. It is a question of, to your point, Clint, I think it's still a question of him realizing his potential, him taking that next step, that next level in his game. And I think we're still wanting to see him tap into that. And more so, I feel like I'm looking for the team to tap into that, to utilize him more. And them, you know, extending him like this. And I think, you know, having him be somebody that's a non-negotiable in trades or trying to keep him off limit in trades shows that he is some level of priority for them. I just hope that manifests itself on the actual basketball court. And certainly Jabari's got some areas in his game that he can grow in. But as far as being like the four man in a group that includes Kevin Durant, Amen Thompson, and Alperen Sengun, I feel like he's perfectly suited for a role. Like, and Fred VanVleet is your point guard. I feel like he's perfectly suited for that role. As far as being like a stretch five or a small ball five, I should say, in a lineup that's got, let's say, Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Tari Eason in it or something like that, and Jabari Smith's your five, I feel great about him in that role. So it's just about him sort of developing and realizing his potential.
We have had conversation about Jabari Smith Jr. I don't know if I believe he is somebody that gets up to a two-level player, but I like a number two, number one level player. But I think he is a great, as you just put it, three or four player. Now, I could be wrong, and he's just not gotten enough run. But that's why, to me, I love his role moving forward, because I think I put it yesterday, he is not as much the creator, but someone who works off of the creator and can get roles. Now, he can maybe take someone in the post for a mismatch and shoot his turnaround. But overall, I think he is more of like one of the top, potential top-tier role players. Do you get the sense he could be a number two? Because like I see Amen Thompson as him, those two guys on two different levels.
Yeah, no, Amen Thompson and Alperen Sengun are the stars on this team. Obviously, Kevin Durant aside, like, we know who that is. But as far as, like, the young players, that's Amen Thompson and Alperen Sengun. But I think that Jabari Smith is just perfectly suited for that interchangeable, put him in any lineup. If they could run some damn plays for him, it's not about him being a one or a two. It's just about him being a weapon and an asset and utilizing these things that matter so much in basketball today, which is length on one end of the floor and shooting on the other end. And he has both of these things. I think that it would be great if he could handle the ball a little bit better and create his own shot a little bit better. But if you could, like, just play into his strengths that he has already, there's a lot that you could tap into there. So to me, it's just about utilizing them properly. But no, look, at one point, I viewed Jabari Smith Jr. as somebody that could be like a LaMarcus Aldridge. Those are the heights that I have for him at some point. Do I still view him that way today?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. But can he still be a useful player? The type of player that you absolutely want to have on a championship level team? Yeah, for sure.
I think he could be their Chet. I think he can perform the way Chet did last year. But
What about Clint Capella? I know you obviously covered him closely last time he was here. I'm sure you've watched him closer than most his time, you know, outside of Houston. What does he bring to the table, him individually as well as what the team needs?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they went and this was kind of head scratching because I'm sitting there like, man, what'd they go and sign Clint Capella for? Like, what's that about, I wonder? Because, like, where is he going to – when is he going to play?
Yeah.
What is his – like, what's the pathway for him to get minutes and being a contributor to the team? And I'm like, well, I'll be damned, man. I talked about doubling down and how they went in all these other specific directions, free agency, trade, extending their young guys. They went and upgraded the third center position. Yeah. They said, you know what? Jock Landale, I know you don't really play for us at all, but if you ever did, we'd like to have a better option than that.
Yeah.
And went and got Clint Capella. So they went and literally upgraded pretty much everything.
Is that a Steven Adams load management option? Well, I know it is, but I mean, is that like the, you think that's the reason behind it, or do you think, we saw that double big, they got a lot of mileage out of that double big down the stretch. Is it potentially other options to go double big longer, more often, different manner, or do you think it's really just a Steven Adams play?
Yeah, I think it's all of that. I think it's a Steven Adams play, but I also think that it is, now you have, I talked about optionality earlier, now you have a different type of big out there as well. So now, like Steven Adams, obviously as big as he is, and of course Alperen Şengün, they're not really considered like lob threats. That's not exactly what they do, but that's exactly what Clint Capella does, even at 31 years old. So now, like, I don't know who's out there that's going to be throwing lobs, because all the guys to throw lobs to were the guards. The guards just throw lobs to each other, right? Because those are the high flyers on the team, not necessarily the big guys. Now you got a guy that's like that, right?
Pick and roll, yeah.
That is a more interesting type of pick and roll option. And Kevin Durant, who was on LeBron James and Steve Nash's podcast a little while ago, talking about his growth as a pick and roll player, you know, over the years. Like, he's somebody that now you have him who you trust a lot more than the guy that handled the ball a lot more before. And so it's just better. It's just all around better. Shocking. That's the part that did surprise me, bringing back Clint Capella. Yeah. But it's definitely an upgrade.
I'll tell you, I said this to Clint earlier this week and to the listeners. Like, as a fan, if this thing doesn't work, that's one thing. But to me, it's hard to look up at the decision makers, the Tillman Fertittas, the Raphael Stones, the Ime Udokas, and look at them and say, man, y'all did everything. Y'all covered just about every damn thing that was able for you to cover. Getting the shooter and the more lead guy in Durant, then filling the voids and getting wing guys and more shooting back there. Hell, and as you said, getting a third center right there. They have. If they don't win it, it's not because they didn't. You know, they didn't do everything that they could to put this team together and give it the best chance.
Well, I think regardless of result this year, and I'm expecting the result to be good. Just to be clear, but regardless of result, this is the best Rockets offseason of my lifetime.
Yeah,
like and that is actually since the drafting of Hakeem Olajuwon. So we're not counting that, right? So after that, like this is the best Rockets offseason that I can remember.
And everybody is saying
that's sexy.
Everybody is saying it. Damn, that's promo right there. Tell you right there. Best one ever right there. Brandon Scott, Rockets Report. A man who has covered this team, watched this team, said this is the best Rockets offseason he's ever seen. We'll talk to you next week. I'll see you tomorrow as we do the Reggie and Ron Radiothon. He'll join us, as many others will. So we'll be excited to see you then and talk to you next week. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll give you the latest update on Yordan Alvarez. We'll let you hear what Dana Brown had to say about him. And the Knicks finally hired a coach. And it is not somebody who already had a job, which it seemed like that was what they were going after. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.